Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1 through 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of Psalter 188.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of Joshua, the 7th chapter. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we have read that solemn portion of thy holy word, wherein thou dost show to us, reveal to us, and that thou art so just that thou canst not look over one sin, especially when it does dwell in the midst of thy own people. Lord, thou art the all-knowing God, and there is nothing that therefore we can hide from thee. All things open and naked before thee, with whom we have to do. And it is in our nature to cover our sin, to hide it from thee, never to confess it, even as this Achan. But Lord, thou knowest what it is, and when we will never come in our life to that true confession, and then it will be with us also as thou hast done unto him, that we shall bring ourselves to our own destruction. O Lord, it is a day of prayer that has been set aside for the beseeching of thee, for especially all the needs that lie before us in this life. But then we have also another need. Oh, that we might be born again, that there may be fruit also upon the labors that are done in thy house of prayer, week by week, that also in the season that lies before us, there may be a true conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that we may not be permitted to work out our own destruction under the preaching of law and gospel. Lord, do instruct us by thy Spirit. Bring thy word in with power. Oh, give the warmth of thy Holy Spirit, and wilt thou water it from above, that it may bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Oh, that thy children also in the midst of us, in that season that lies before us, may have food to eat and a water to drink, that the thirst and that the hunger may be satisfied from time to time, that they also may be led further in that way of a free and sovereign grace. Oh, that new ones also, Lord, may be born in Zion amongst us and amongst our dear children, that thou may not leave us over to work out our own destruction, but that thou may stop us on our mad career and turn us from all the evil of our ways, and to love thee, to seek thee, as thou art to be found yet in thine only begotten Son. Lord, remember us as a flock, as a congregation, in all the needs for that never-ending eternity. And grant us also what we need for all the things of this life. Oh, bless also the callings. Remember the mourning family. Thou knowest each and every one of them. May thou comfort as man alone, as thou alone art able to do. And wilt thou teach us all together to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Give us to see and to feel that we are but pilgrims and that we are traveling to our long, long home, and that the blessings of the field, they are for a season in this world and so necessary, but insufficient to feed our poor souls. Lord, look on us. To whom else can we go but unto thee, who has the words of eternal life and who has all power given unto thee in heaven and in earth? Do it then. Take reasons out of thyself to come amongst us also as a congregation, and look on all the needy ones. Wilt thou be with families, be with husbands and wives, in all the needs and the cares of raising children? Give love for one another as it ought to be, and give us a denial of ourselves. Remember our dear children. Give them also to love one another, to walk in truth, in honesty, in uprightness, and to walk in love with brothers and with sisters. Give obedience to parents. And wilt thou instruct us, that we may instruct them. Also, all those that rule and reign over us, Lord, and thou knowest the day in which we live with our children. And it is a day wherein Satan makes use of all his devices. And we are not stronger than he. His temptations can be so great, and our evil flesh that is so in agreement with him whom we have chosen by nature as our father, the devil.
But Lord, wilt thou stand on our right and on our left hand? And wilt thou become too strong in the life of each and every one of us? And wilt thou give that also in the nation that we live, and that his devices may be overturned, and that we may be brought back to the God of our fathers, to thy holy word and testimonies. Have dealings with us, O Lord, in mercy, in the season that goes before us, and give us to cry out for mercy unto the God, the living God of the heavens and of the earth. Wilt thou look on all thy servants also that go forth from week to week, who are truly called and sent by thee? Wilt thou give more servants in thy vineyard? May it be in the season that lies before us. Lord, may thou bind the need upon the hearts of those whom thou wilt have to go forth. And may thou give those fields that are ready to be harvested may receive workers within those vineyards. And wilt thou look on us as a denomination? Wilt thou be with us? And wilt thou give a turning also as churches to the paths of thy word and those ways that our forefathers have taught us, that we may not go along with the evil and the sin of this world of our time, but may we be given to flee and to hasten for the sake of our life. Remember also the meeting that must take place next week. And the classes will meet. Wilt thou spare each and every one in traveling to that place? And may thou be with us and among us to give wisdom and to give thy blessing. Look on us as a congregation. Look on all the needy ones and all the afflicted ones and all that are not able to be with us in this night and when they are in their own homes. And wilt thou give a blessing also out of thy heavenly store? And wilt thou be with us in preaching and in listening? We are together again for a little while, an hour in thy house. Oh, give a little freedom from all the cares and the concerns that can plague our minds and our hearts in such an hour. And separate us for a little while. And wilt thou give us a blessing out of heaven? Oh, speak, Lord. And wilt thou use thy word that may be the testimony that thou art among us as one that doth serve. Forgive thou all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 223. congregation, when Jonah was on the ship and that was on its way to Tarshish, then the Lord has sent a great storm upon that sea. And those men were brought into a great turmoil. And we read that they began to pray. Every man, we read, did cry unto his God. But Jonah was asleep, and they awake him, and they chastise him. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. For those men, those heathen men, it made no difference whether Jonah cried unto his God or unto their God. When each one had cried unto his own God, then that was good enough for them. So we can hear the superstition in that heathen worship. But it is, of course, of no use when we pray unto a God who does not exist. You understand that, boys and girls? Then it is a God of wood or a God of stone or a God of my imagination, but it is not the living God. Then he cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot answer my cry. And what would the devil like to do? The devil would like to deny the existence not of every God, no, or so-called God, but the existence of the true God, that men would never cry unto the living God. But now it is also possible that a man is crying unto the true God. And as he cries unto that true God, and then he still does not receive an answer of peace. We read of Cain. Then he also brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. But what do we read? That sacrifice was not accepted by the Lord. And Cain becomes angry. But the Lord comes to Cain and he asks him why he is angry. Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. Thus not every sacrifice and not every cry to God is acceptable to him. You say that was Cain. But what about the true people of the Lord? We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this with you in this evening from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Joshua 7, and thereof the 10th verse. Joshua 7, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? So far the words of our text. Prayer day at Ai. First, Israel's distress. Second, Joshua's prayer. And third, the Lord's answer. Prayer day at Ai. First, Israel's distress. Second, Joshua's prayer. Third, the Lord's answer. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country, And the men went up and viewed Ai. Thus the children of Israel have entered into the land of Canaan. And they have come across that Jordan River by a miraculous deed of the Most High God. They have come to that city of Jericho. They did not need to fight. When they came to this city of Jericho, no, the Lord Himself will fight for Israel. All they needed to do was to march around this city and to blow with their ram's horns. And then it will be the hand of the Lord that will conquer that city of Jericho. And the walls of that city, they will come tumbling down at the word of the Lord. And all that the children of Israel have to do is go straight up into the city, and in obedience to the command of the Lord, then they must destroy all the people and the goods of this city. There will be no resistance. Why not? Because the Lord has given His terror to be upon the people of this land, so that they are in great fear of the children of Israel, and Israel may simply receive a splendid victory. We would say without having to do anything. In all these ways, the Lord has brought also a great honor to His servant, to Joshua among the people. So that was when the children of Israel came over that river of Jordan. Then we read that the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. But then we also read of we also read this of these nations of Canaan after the destruction of Jericho. So the Lord was with Joshua, and His fame was noised throughout all the country. So the country, they have heard of the name of Joshua in connection with the children of Israel. And there will be a fear that is taking hold of all of this land. But how now will the rest of this conquering of the land of Canaan go? Well, the rest of the conquering of that land will not be in the same way. That is, it's going to be by the normal means of war. So the people of the Lord, they are not going to receive the whole land, as it were, simply by a miracle, by the word of the Lord, as it was in that city of Jericho. But the Lord has commanded that His own children will now have to take the sword in hand, and they will now have to use the means to conquer the land. And the Lord has promised His blessing upon the means. And so we read of Joshua here. Joshua is therefore sending some men, some spies, to go to the next city, to go to the next place where they intend to fight. And these spies return and they give their report. What do they say, boys and girls? Then they say, well, there is just a few people there. And they give their recommendation to God's servant, what he ought to do. They say, you don't have to send that whole army of the children of Israel. That's a massive amount of people. Well, these are just a few men of Ai. When you would send 2,000-3,000 men, well, that is enough for the victory. That is sure. Why should you make every one go up? That is needless. In this battle, really, this should be no problem. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. But congregation, what do we not read? And we do not read that Joshua bowed his knees. It has not been such a long time since Moses has given his admonition to the children of Israel. It has not been such a long time since Moses had said unto the children of Israel, beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. But they didn't need a long time. We do not need a long time to forget. What has Israel just experienced? A great victory. A splendid victory. Against that mighty, that walled city of Jericho. And it was a victory that they may experience that they did not themselves lift one finger to fight against that city. It was given to them so evidently, so manifestly from above, that they must say every one of those soldiers, there was not one man that could claim that he had a part in the destruction of that city of Jericho. And yet even with such a victory, in their prosperity, it is even with the blessing of the Lord that the heart of this children of Israel is yet somewhat lifted up in its own strength. Now they come to Ai, and for that little city of Ai, the children of Israel do not feel their need for the Lord. And what must the Lord teach them? And what must the Lord teach every one of his children? That without me, ye can do nothing. Not just a little, nothing. What must the Lord instruct his children in? That is, in the necessity, the need of a prayer day. That is for everything. And that is over and over in their life. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. What a surprise! Israel had never expected this, that enemy that was stronger than they thought. And about 36 men are slain in this attack. Though that is not so many in comparison with their whole army. But it is very many when they thought that this victory was going to be so easy. So the Lord has to teach them, even in this way, not to boast as he that is putting off his harness. And what do we read of the children of Israel when they have fled away from this little place, from these few inhabitants, that their hearts have now melted within them? How is this possible? Has not Joshua assured the children of Israel that living God
He was going to go before us to drive out all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. How is it now possible that we could be smitten before our enemies? And what does Joshua do? We read that he rent his clothes. And what? Where does he go? And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord. Until eventide, he and the elders of Israel. Thus, it becomes prayer day in Israel. It is a day of great trouble. And it becomes prayer day, especially for whom? It becomes prayer day, especially for the heads of the people. It is Joshua, and it is the elders of the land that go and bow before that ark of the Lord. Oh, what an example that is for everyone who may be in some place of leadership within the nation, within the province, within the church, within a family. Then where is the first one that must bow his knees? Oh, that defeat at Ai that lay so heavily on the heart of this Joshua. And we see that in our second thought, Joshua's prayer. And why is it that Joshua was so affected with the death of these 36 men? Are there not actually many men, many soldiers, even as David did say later, many soldiers that are devoured by the war? Well, it simply is not the same. No, Joshua knows very well it is not the same. And why is it not the same? Because it is evidence. It is a manifest token that the Lord has withdrawn his help and his presence from the children of Israel. And that is why that Joshua and these elders rend their clothes and put dust upon their heads. It is a sign of mourning. And now they go to that ark. They fall there with their faces to the ground. And Joshua prays, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." It almost sounds like the murmuring of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and they were afraid to come into the land of Israel, and they have rebelled against the commandment of the Lord when they did not believe that the Lord could go before them to destroy the inhabitants of the land. When they saw themselves as grasshoppers before these giants. And yet, this is not the language of unbelief, but it is the language of faith. Because here Joshua wrestles in prayer before the living and the covenant God of Israel. Joshua does not understand what the Lord is doing. Joshua does not understand the ways, the dealings of the Lord among his own people. Joshua cannot see how this can be consistent with the promise of the Lord. Oh, will the Lord not finish then that thing which he has begun when he has brought them all the way through that wilderness, over that Jordan, and now what shall take place? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. Oh, if only we had taken up our lot with those who have stayed on that other side of Jordan. Oh, it had been better that we had come only so far. That only that we had come close to the land and never actually entered into the land, than now to be utterly destroyed. This prayer of Joshua that is not completely without fault, because it savors of some wavering concerning that promise of the Lord. Oh, Joshua, when you had stayed there on that other side of that Jordan, then Joshua, what would have happened to that covenant of the Lord? How then could that covenant of the Lord and that promise of the Lord possibly have been fulfilled?
But congregation, who of us can throw the first stone at the stumblings even of this man of God? Joshua does not know the meaning of what has taken place, and he does not know what to make of this. O Lord, he says in his cry, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? What shall I say? What answer shall I give to this thy people? And when they shall question me, and when they will ask me, what is now happening? Can you explain when you said that the Lord was going to go before us? Then what answer, Lord, shall I give unto this people? Is this now not thine own people? Thus what shall I say unto Israel? What shall I say, Lord, of thy great power? Do I have to tell them that thy arm is shortened, and that it cannot save, and that thou hast lost thy power? What shall I say, Lord, about thy promise? Must I say to them that I am not sure whether this promise really is going to be fulfilled anymore? What shall I say of thy covenant? What shall I say about all those things that have gone before us? How shall I give an explanation unto this people?
And not only so, but then he thinks about the Canaanites. And not only the Canaanites, but all the nations that are round about the children of Israel. And what are going to be the thoughts of all of these nations? For all the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. Thus the Canaanites, they are going to think that we are without power. Then the terror of the Lord is no longer going to be on these Canaanites. These Canaanites are going to have us in contempt. Now it is not their hearts that are melting. No, now it is our hearts that are melting. The hearts of thy own people. And all those Canaanites, they are going to gather all their forces, and they are going to be so encouraged. They are easily going to come against us and prevail against us, because our own people are so afraid. And those that are fearful, they cannot fight well. Thus he says, they will cut off our name from the earth. Thus Joshua pleads. And what does he plead on? Well, he pleads on all that the Lord has done for his church. He pleads on the welfare of the true people of the Lord. And then listen to him further. Because he says more. He says, O Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Do you remember, boys and girls, who else said that?
that was Moses. Oh, when Moses was before the Lord on Sinai, and the Lord looked down upon his children, and they had sinned, and they had made a golden calf. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Let me alone." He says, "I will destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." And what did Moses say? "O Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? O all the nations, the Egyptians, they are going to hear what has taken place. They are going to laugh." And now, "Joshua, what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Thus, he does not only plead the safety of the true children of the Lord. No, he pleads more. He pleads that the Lord would look, and that the Lord would think, and that the Lord would consider his own honor and his own glory. Oh, he would not have that that name of God would be trampled upon. Oh, what are the Egyptians now going to say after we have been led these 40 years through this desert, this wilderness? And he will not have the wicked to mock. Just that the wicked may say that that God of the children of Israel, he is the same as all of the gods of all of the earth. He is no greater God. He is just as unable to fulfill his promises as all the other gods in this world. "What wilt thou do unto thy great name?" What holy arguments, congregation, does Joshua use in prayer, in his supplications? Oh, do we know also how those same holy arguments, what a blessed wrestling that Joshua may wrestle in prayer before the Lord. And then the upholding of that name of God that is become his first concern. And when all the children of the Lord are brought into the right place, then it is more grievous unto them that the Lord's name is dishonored than when their own name should be dishonored. But they are not so often in that place. What holy arguments, we would say, what greater arguments in prayer could be used to move God, as it were? Israel had nothing to plead on for themselves, in themselves, and so, congregation, it remains. What can they plead upon more than the very attributes of God himself? What can prevail more with God than his own covenant, than his own faithfulness to his own people? Because God cannot deny himself. Neither can the Lord deny his own word. He has magnified his word above all his name, we read. His faithfulness cannot fail. Congregation of ourselves, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, even upon such a prayer day, but by moments, then God's people may be taught to plead with him, and may be permitted sometimes, to wrestle with him. We read, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. There is hope for the needy, not in themselves, not in their condition, but in the Lord. And in everything that the Lord is, and in everything that the Lord shall be for His own children. And He is not only the one to whom they must go, but He is Himself the foundation of the cry, the prayer of His church. And that is the only reason that that true church may look for an answer of peace. But that answer of the Lord, that is our third thought. Therefore, let us sing Psalter 158. 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8. O God, Thou hast rejected us and hast afflicted sore. Thou hast been angry, but in grace, once again restore. 158 stanzas 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? How is it possible, congregation, that the Lord gives to his servant Joshua such an answer? Is it not a good thing that Joshua has come and that he has laid with his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord? Is the Lord not pleased when his children will come to him and lay before him all their troubles? Was not Joshua concerned for the welfare of the people of the Lord? Was not Joshua concerned for the honor of the name of the Lord? Why is that? That the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? The Lord does not rebuke Joshua for crying unto him. Not at all. That is a commendable thing. And the Lord Jesus himself, he says that his Father will give good things to them that ask him. But congregation, there is a time for everything. When Moses stood before Israel, before the Red Sea, and Moses cried unto the Lord, then the Lord also answered Moses, and he said to him, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you praying to me? Why are you crying to me? The Lord said to Moses, Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Thus, there was a time for Moses to cry, and there was a time for Moses to stop crying. A time that the Lord says, Now, Moses, the children of Israel must go forward. And now Joshua has lain before that ark of the Lord. And we read, until the eventide. And now the Lord says, Joshua, get thee up. Why? Well, because to lay there before the Lord is not enough. With all his crying, with all his pleading, and with all his holy arguments, it is not enough. And why is it not enough? Because the Lord says, Israel hath sinned. Israel hath sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Thus, the Lord shows the reason why that the children of Israel have suffered defeat at Ai. And what is that? It is because of their own sin. And that is why they could not stand before their enemies. But now the Lord says also something else. What is that? He says, unless that sin is not taken out of your midst, then I am deaf to all your cries. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you.
Joshua, all the dust upon your head is not enough. All the rending of your garments, that is insufficient. All your lying on your face before me, Joshua, with the elders of the people, that is not enough. All your pleadings, all your cryings is not enough. As long as that sin is still in that camp, I, Joshua, will not go with you anymore. It is supposed to be my people, and I, Joshua, am holy. The Lord says, be ye holy as I am holy. And that sin that is inconsistent with my attributes, and I cannot dwell with it. Congregation, it is prayer day. How can now our prayer be acceptable to God? How much of that is hypocrisy that lays in our own heart? We attempt to pray to a God whom we, as a nation and as a people, we have left so far, forsaken the ordinances of the Lord, desecrated his day, defamed his name, set his law completely to the side. And then we pray to him for what? For a blessing on our families, on our churches, on our nation. How can that be? James says, ye ask, but ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What does the Lord say here? The Lord says that he requires true repentance. True repentance that is not only crying to God. True repentance that is also turning away from our evil. As long as there is no humbling of ourselves, as long as there is no turning away from our sin, then the Lord says, heaven is closed. Without true repentance, then our cry to him that is only a stench in the nostrils of God. Read that in Psalm 50. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedst with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Congregation, do we desire that the Lord would hear us on prayer day? Then we must do more than pray. Then we have also an examination to do. Then we have also to examine our heart and to examine our whole life. Is our prayer, is our cry nothing but hypocrisy? We know much better than the world. We are brought up under the truth. And these things do not go together to pray to God without a true repentance. That is mockery. We cannot pray for the Lord to hear us, pray for the Lord to convert us, and continue blatantly against the law of God. Do we complain that the Lord works so little in our days? Do we complain that we can see so little of the Lord's hand among us? Do we pray for the Lord that the Lord would work mightily amongst us as a congregation? When must we say that the Lord does not hear us, that the Lord does not answer our cry? Then we must also examine why. Then we must ask ourselves if sin does not lay at our door, whether there is some secret sin that we hold on to, and for that reason that the Lord says, as long as that sin is not put out of the way, then I will not hear. Then we can pray morning to evening and evening to morning. But the Lord says, I will not hear you. Oh, congregation, when you come home again, then read further again what had to take place in the land of Israel, among the people of Israel, before the Lord would go again with the children of Israel, and before he would hearken unto their cry. The Lord said to Joshua, up. He says, sanctify the people. What does that mean? He says, purify them, that they may stand in the presence of the Holy God. The Lord will begin to search them. And he will go step by step. And he will come closer and closer to the guilty one. And with every step, that guilty one, he has the opportunity to make a confession. But he does not. No, he allows it to continue until he must be pointed out. He conceals it to the very end. Congregation, is that also our way? People of the Lord. Joshua did not know that there was sin in the camp. And many times it is so that God's children, they do not even realize that there is sin within the camp. Because then he had not kept close enough watch. How often is that not so, people of the Lord? Then you need to be shown what that sin is. But do you know what is also another sad truth? Oh, that same people are not so just ready to give up these bosom sins, but they desire to hold on to them,
that is the wretched, wretched flesh. And at the same time, that new man that desires the favor of the Lord. But it is sin. Sin that is causing the Lord to hide his face and to withhold his blessing from his children. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. Can they sin themselves outside of grace? Impossible. But they can sin themselves outside of the felt separation, of the felt communion of the Lord, in the standing of their life, in the condition of their life. Paul says, a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. So it was. Also in this matter of Achan, was but one man, was not all Israel, but all Israel was affected by the sin of that one man. And then the whole church suffered. And now if God is not walking amongst his church because of the sin of his people, then how can it go for our nation? Therefore, purge out, the Lord says, purge out that old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou open to us what our own sin is? Thou knowest what we are full of. O leave us not to go on, but O open it to us and give us a desire to flee therefrom, from those sins that we hold so dear to our heart, even after received grace. Bless thy people undeservedly. Bless us as a congregation also undeservedly. Cause us to turn and hear our cry. Wilt thou go with us, bring us safely home now, in this night to our places. And wilt thou give what is necessary in the days to come. Be especially with that family who must stand at an open grave. O strengthen, uphold, and teach them and us together. Be with those who will go before the congregation on thy Sabbath day. May thou be on their right and on their left. O give a blessing upon the reading services also, and the preaching of thy servant. And help us also in the place where we must be. Bring us all safely together again at thy appointed time. Forgive all that was sinful this day in speaking and in listening, and crown it with thy most needed blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 138, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 138.
statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. Ye have consented with the thief. Ye have
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.